Could I ask you, friends, to turn with me in your Bible just now to John and to chapter number 15, please. John 15. Very, very familiar passage of the Word. And yet at the same time, a very, very practical one. I'm glad to get that thing off. I'm sure you are too when you get rid of it. You know, it made me appreciate how an old horse feels when it gets the blinkers off. You know, it seems very much the same. That one that you gave me is good and very, very handy. And I got it out of the car there this morning and I had a look at it. I hadn't had it out since. I would need it to have taken a scrubbing brush to it. So I'll maybe do that when I got home. I was carrying a lot of rubbish to the dump, and it must have gotten factored along the way. But there you are. Now, it's nice to be back again, friends, in Cookstown, and just to sharing fellowship with you again and to meet together around the Lord's table to remember the Saviour in his own appointed way. That's something that's very dear to the heart of all believers, just to remember him. And it makes me the more thankful to God who ever gave us a Saviour to remember. Yes. Where would we be this morning had the Lord Jesus never come? I often think about that. We'd be on our way to that dreadful place called hell. A man said to me one day, not so very long ago, he said, the very mention of the word makes me tremble. And no wonder. You know, hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. What a shocking, shocking statement that is, and yet it is the experience of so many. But it's good to be here, friends, and to know that we're not on our way to hell. We're on our way to heaven. The hymn writer wrote, heaven is my Father's home, blessed home where Jesus waits for me. So it's lovely to be along again and to meet with you. The weather, the last Sunday I was here, you could hardly bear a coat on you. Now the day you're looking for it, that's how it goes. I have neighbours beside me who are very, very good to me, very kind. And the other day, you remember the day there we had so much heavy rain, I rang him up on the phone and I said, Laurie, you doing anything? Yeah, he says, why? What do you want? I said, you wouldn't come in and give me a hand to water these pots out here in the garden. And he never spoke for a minute. He said to me, have you gone daft? Have you looked out? I was only teasing him, of course. But there you are. Now, I do remember us, friends, going over to Appleby. That's one I do want to mention this morning. The Appleby venture begins this Wednesday coming, God willing, and we're certainly looking forward to that. I've never actually been over to Appleby before, but these fairs are big events, I can tell you. I always love to go down to Ballinasloe, down the south, when that fair is on, and it's a tremendous opportunity to spread the gospel and to speak to people. We have a leaflet we give out, and it says on the leaflet that you're invited into this room for a cup of tea, and it's nobody comes in under a delusion, because it always says on the leaflet, and a talk about the Lord. We have that on it. And people queue up to come, just to get in for a free tea or coffee, and sit down, and at every table we have a good, reliable Christian worker to talk to them. So how we manage, or what we'll do this year over at Allenby, I do not know. I was to go over last year, but there wasn't one because of this virus thing. So what way we'll have to work this year, I honestly do not know. So please remember us in your prayers at this time, because this is a completely new order of things altogether. But I understand from those who have been there before that the most of the people who come will be gypsy people, and you would be normally having put going through the whole area about 15,000 people. That's a lot of people. We'll never be able to talk to them all, but we can talk to some, and that's the main thing. So pray for us that the Lord's blessing will rest upon us. Now let's read a verse or two here from John chapter 15. I never read this verse or these verses, but I don't feel greatly challenged by them. The Lord Jesus is the speaker, and he says, I am the true vine. So if there's a true one, then there must be a false one. And my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit of itself, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Please note the constant use of this word abide here in these verses. I am the true vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Here's a lovely verse. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Can you work out that comparison? That the love that Christ has for you and I today is the very same as the love the Father has for his Son. Now that's an amazing thing, but that's unalterable and completely unchangeable. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. That's where we'll end our reading this morning, friends. The Lord will add his blessing again to the reading of his own word. Reading through this passage, friends, and others of a similar kind, during the course of the week that is gone, my mind fastened on a little word. When I was, at school, which is a long time ago now, they used to teach us that little words had big meanings. An illustration was given of the word and, and the word if, and the word but, and the word so, and so on. Very little words, but very big in meaning and content. But the verse, or rather the word that latched itself upon my mind, reading this chapter and others like it, was the word me. I use that word every day. I'm sure so do you. Give me. Well, the prodigal son had the gimmies, hadn't he? Give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. Ask me. Show me. One could go on. The number of times that we use this word. But this morning, I want to talk to you about this word as applying to our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when you take a simple word like that and you bring it to the great Savior of the world, it begins to take on a new meaning entirely. And so I've been searching the scriptures in order to find some of the occasions, not all of them, because I discovered there are many, many more, when this word is used about our great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. What a revelation they are. Now, you can listen or you can turn. I have written them down because I would rather not misquote the word, and yet when you take time to turn them all up, that takes time, you see. So I've just simply written these down, and you can just sit and listen, or you can use your Bible and follow as it suits you. The very first one that came to my mind is a very strong evangelical one, where in Matthew 11 and verse 28, the Savior said this, "Come unto me." You see the word. Now, he also added, someone quoted this actually in our prayers this morning, "All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I remember talking to a sailor one time who was actually a captain of vessels who went all over the world, you see. He took out these cargo vessels, and sometimes he would have been months away. But I was trying to find out what this term heavy laden meant. And I felt it was a kind of a mariner's term. So I went to my friend Jim and I said, "Jim, would you take out a vessel that is heavy laden?" He said, "Harvey, there's no chance of me taking that out." I said, "Why?" "Well," he said, "if a vessel is heavy laden, it's top heavy. Too much cargo." And he said, "if it got onto a troubled sea at all, well, it would capsize with you. And we don't want that to happen. So we need to be careful that we don't overload the boat." Applying that to the verse there, my friends, if someone is laboring, they're getting along slowly, but they're burdened. But if a person is heavy laden, they're scared to move at all in case things topple over. And the idea is this: there are people who are slowly going along towards that awful place called hell. And sadly, if they don't find the Savior, someday they will end up there. But there are others, and they're top heavy. They know that they're almost about to fall into that horrible place. And sadly for them, they have not come to the Savior. And yet in the light of eternity, they are scared to move. I remember many years ago now, friends, conducting a mission in the town of Lurgan, where I live. And after the meeting was over one night, a lady came down to the door to me in great haste. And she said, "Look, will you come up the church here and speak to my husband? He seems to be in terrible trouble." So I went into the church and went over to where he was sitting. I can see this yet. He was sitting to my left-hand side. And I went over and sat down beside him. Put my arm around his back. I said, "Friend, what's wrong?" "Oh," he said, "I don't understand this salvation business at all." I'd never met the guy before until that particular night. I said, "Okay, come on up into the vestry here and I'll have a chat with you." He said, "No." He says, "I can't move. I can't budge." He said, "There's a hand on me. And if that unseen hand had not been there, I would have been up and out. But," he said, "I can't budge. I can't move." And he said, I'm scared of taking a step unless I tumble into hell. I remember that. Now, that's the only time I've ever seen that. Over all the years I've been preaching the gospel, but boy, oh boy, I can tell you it was some experience. What a joy it was to sit there and just point that fella to the Lord. What a blessing he became, because he was a terrific singer, a really good singer, and he used to go out singing with me until he and his wife moved away elsewhere, and I only hear from them now from time to time. However, that's the idea. Now, no matter what way people are as far as life and sin are concerned, the Savior says, come unto me. There may be someone listening through this article this morning. My friend, if you are, the Lord Jesus is saying to you, come unto me, not to us or them or anything of the sort, but come unto me. For it was he who died for us. It was he who was buried. It was he who rose again. It is he at the Father's right hand just now stands with open outstretched arms and nail-pierced hands. And he's saying, come unto me. Isn't that lovely? Just the little word is in there and the invitation to Christ is contained in it. Now, let me go on. The next one that I found is Matthew 11, 29. And this time it's not come unto me, but it's learn of me. Because the Lord Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. I was preaching in a meeting last Lord's Day evening. I was driving up past a place where I'd been years ago conducting meetings and so on in that district, and I met a man called James Meek. The only time I'd ever met anyone with that surname, and I never knew a man to be better named. I don't know what you could have done to offend him. He was one of the nicest brothers in Christ I have ever known. You see, what a benefit he was to the work of God in that part of the world. He's way home to heaven many, many years ago. But how like Christ he was in that regard. I am meek and lowly in heart. But listen to this for a moment. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You know what a yoke is, don't you? It's where two animals, very often in this setting here, it would have been two bullocks who were brought together with this yoke side by side, and when they were side by side, evenly placed. Well, if they were plowing or whatever they were doing, everything was straight and wonderful and lovely. And you know, friends, if you and I are yoked to Christ like that, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn this lesson. Stay close by me, the Savior is saying. Put your hand in mine. Walk with me throughout this world, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Came across a man here not so very long ago. I've known him well for many years. Things hadn't been all that terribly well in his life. And in the testimony that he was bearing. And I'd heard a few things, but I never listened to things I hear, unless I hear it directly from the person involved, you see. Because folks at times seem to exaggerate a little bit, and maybe we're all good at it, you see. But anyway, he talked to me a while, and he looked at me and he said this. He said, Harvey, and he was talking from the lower arch, so it was a lower arch slang. He said, it's no easy. It's no easy. You see? Well, I said, brother, I've been listening to you. And I said, I don't want to sound overly critical, or I don't want to run you down in any way at all, but you've been walking with the Lord longer than me. Now, he's well over 60 years saved. And I said, the Lord said, my yoke is easy, not easy. and my burden is light, not heavy. So I said, I think you need to sit down and think. And I said, I'm going to tell you this. The vast problem in your life today is you. You're the one who's making it difficult. And you're making it so difficult at the minute that even the Lord can't help you. He said, what? The Lord can't? No, I said, you need to get tight to him. You're away in your own man. Get back into the yoke and stay beside the Savior. And I tell you, things will be very different. I met him just about a couple of weeks ago again. I was back in that area. And he said, you know something, you were perfectly right. He said, I was trying to rule my life my way, solve my problems my way. He said, all I was doing was making a mess. That's all. So as a believer today on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord is saying to you, stay by my side and I'll teach you what you need to learn and learn of me. And you know, friends, whenever you're taught by the Lord Jesus Christ, well, you're well taught. His dear old brother that I knew in the Milford area of Armagh told me many years ago when he was considering going into full-time service for God. He went down one night, he was a very high-ranking police officer actually, and he went down from Belfast to the far side of Armagh to visit his father, not knowing what the father would think when he had decided to go into full-time work because the father wasn't a Christian. And he wondered if he would understand. And he sat at supper with his father and his mother and hoped and prayed and hoped and prayed that something would be said by the dad, and nothing was. Where he lives, you can look away up a road towards Armagh, it's a mile long, and you can see the bus coming. And him and his dad in the morning were having a cup of tea, and the mother was at the door watching for the bus coming down the road. And whenever the mother said, James, the bus is coming, he was so disappointed, he told me. And he got up, put on his coat, was heading for the door. And he said, the father looked at me, and here's what he said. He said, James, I don't understand, but he says the man that God guides is well guided. You see, he told me, he says, I could have flew to Belfast. I didn't need the bus. I could have flew to Belfast. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. So much more you could say about these. Come unto me, learn of me. What about John 15 and 7, where we read here? The Lord Jesus said, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. Now, do you ever have a problem with unanswered prayer? You see, if that is the case, my friends, maybe the solution lies here. Listen to this. If ye abide in me, that doesn't mean run in and run out. It means get in there and stay there. Stick in at his side. Abide in me. My, whenever you go off at a tangent on your own, you can make such a terrible mess. But Jesus said, come and stay. I think it was here the other Lord's Day morning that I was talking to you about the Thessalonians, where we read, they turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. That's what the Thessalonian epistle tells us. They turned to God from idols. Now, friend, watch how that's recorded or written. They didn't turn from idols to God. They turned from God to God from idols. If they had turned from idols to God, they would have said, and I speak reverently, I'll give God a try. And if that doesn't work, I'll come back to my idols again. But no, they turned to God. They had come to stay. The idols were gone. That was that. There was no such thing as going back to the old way of life again. They had come, and they had come to stay. If, Jesus said, note that word, another wee word I've been looking at lately, if ye abide in me. Now note this, And my words abide in you. That's his precious word. When you read it and mark it and learn it. I remember in days gone by, you'll pardon these personal reference, friend, but they keep coming back into my mind and I have to share them. And I used to do a little bit of part-time work for a man on a Saturday where I had to do a bit of driving. And I used to have an open Bible on the seat beside me. And I tell you what I'd done. When I was driving, I learned scripture, rhymed it off, got the verses, you see, and tried to learn them and did my best. And that sticks to you when the word gets in. And on many an occasion, friends, I have found myself in a situation where I didn't know what way to turn. All of a sudden, one of those verses leaps at you. It comes out, and that shows you what to do. If you abide in me, and my word abide in you. Stay in the Saviour. You're in there now. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Stay there again at his side. I encourage you to do that. And listen to the word and what it's saying to you. You see, why is the Lord telling you that? Listen, I'll tell you why. And this is very often the reason for unanswered prayer. It's in the word you learn the will of God. That's it. You learn the will of God for every single detail of the Christian life from his mighty word. That's where you get it. Now listen to what this verse says. Ye shall ask what ye will. Do you see that term? What ye will. What does that mean, you say to me? Does that mean if I ask for a Rolls Royce, I'll get one? Or a Buckingham Palace, I'll get one? No, it doesn't mean that at all. It means this. Ye shall ask what ye will, because if you're abiding in him and his word is abiding in you, you'll be asking according to God's will. That's it. Now, if you haven't got God's will for any particular issue, stop until you do. Ye shall ask what ye will. You see, because you and God are side by side. You and God are going on this one together. And when you ask God for what his word tells you, the answer will come, because the Lord says, it shall be done unto you. Isn't that amazing? What a promise that is. How we complicate the Christian life sometimes by just not listening and doing what the Lord says in his word. Now that's a tremendous one. I think that's a blessing for any believer. Abide in me. Get in there and stay. Don't run in and out. And this word, let it get in too. And whatever it says, believe it. Hold tight to the precious word of God. And if you do, you and God will be together in perfect agreement. And ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. That's amazing. So many of these. Come unto me, learn of me, abide in me. Now, when you go to John 21 and verse 22, you find the Lord Jesus Christ talking there to Peter. Now, I like Peter. I like all the disciples, of course, but Peter especially, and I'll tell you why. He was a big man, and so am I. You see? And he was full of blunders, and so am I. You see? And I think you can learn a lot from Peter. Somebody said to me one time, wasn't that an awful stupid thing, him walking on the water and then finally sinking? I said, will I tell you something, friend? If it had been me, I wouldn't have been out of the boat. Don't forget that. He actually walked on the water until the old devil come and sat on his shoulder and said, book into his ear. And he said, Peter, listen to that wind and look at those waves. And he took his eye off Christ. And the moment he did, down he went. But the Lord was there to lift him up and heave him back into the boat again. That's exactly what he needed. And of course, if we need that today, we can have it. But listen to what the Lord said to him here. Jesus saith unto him, Peter, if I will that he tarry till I come. There's them two eyes again. I will, I come. This is concerning John. Now that was very misunderstood, that statement there. Some of the disciples got the idea into their head that John was going to live for generations. You see, if he will, or I will, that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? In other words, Peter, weigh and mind your own business. Nothing to do with you. And there are times when the Lord needs to tell you off. He really does. Mind your own business, Peter. What is that to thee? Follow thou me. You get that one? Follow thou me. I remember some time back, friends, I was asked to go along to speak to young people in a fellowship about following Christ and how we can best do it. And I wondered how I would illustrate that. So I went along to the meeting and took up that verse again that was used by Peter, where he teaches us and tells us that we need to walk behind the Lord Jesus Christ, become a real follower. Now that doesn't do away with walking side by side. This is another issue altogether, you see. But following Christ is an amazing thing. And here's how I wanted to illustrate it. I got two of the guys to come out. And I said to the first fella, I said to the young people, I said, just watch these boys now. I said to the first fella, go down halfway down the hall. And he did. And I said to the fella, now the other boy behind, I said, when he starts walking towards the door at the bottom, you start to follow. He said, okay. And the fella started towards the door. This boy started to follow. After two steps, he was out of line. Completely. We used to have an old flute band in the village yonder. And we got it out on the 11th night and got it all dusted up for the 12th day. And there was a wee man in it called Sammy. Boys, could he play a piccolo? You know, he was brilliant. But every time I took one step, Tommy took about three. You know, he was no height, about that height. And we were walking down the street, and I never forgot this. His mother, Minnie, was standing looking out of the door. Oh, she said, look, they're all out of step but our Sammy. He was the only one that wasn't in step, you see, walking down. But you need... I said to these young folk, look, now let's watch this. So I brought the two boys just back to back. And I said to the first guy, you start walking and you follow. And he followed, but there was no trouble. But you can't follow Christ at a distance, because you'll get out of step before you know where you are. You need to get right in behind him and him beside you. Boy, if you do that, aren't you well off? Aren't you? If you go to the 23rd Psalm, my, it's a wonderful psalm. Thou preparest a table before me. All's well before you. My cup runneth over, you see. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. So he's in front of you and he's behind you. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He's beyond you. The Lord is there all around in that lovely, lovely 23rd Psalm. But the Lord's saying to you, never mind other people. Take your eye of them. Do what I want you to do. Follow thou me. Very easy to sing, where he may lead me, I will go. For I have learned to trust him so. His divine will is sweet to me, hallowed by blood-stained Calvary. Now, I'm not critical of hymns. I don't do that. But every time I sing that hymn, I wonder about it. Where he may lead me, I will go. I often think we'd be far better singing, Savior, lead me, lest I stray. Makes more sense to me, you know. I was brought up in an environment where we had a dear old brother who was the leading elder in the church. He could never abide people criticizing hymns. And he used to say, if he heard anybody doing it, he used to say, listen, if you don't like the hymn, go and write a better one. That never was done. No, and he said, if it was, I never heard of it. That's how it goes. Follow thou me. Now, I think you can see what's here. So much. Now, in Genesis 17 and 1, I know that's a long way back, you find God there, and he's talking to Abraham. Abram, as he was known in those particular days. Now, I put this one in because the reason why I did this to show you that this is not something exclusive to the Old to the New Testament. It's in the Old Testament as well. And some of those men in the Old Testament, particularly Joseph, were amazing followers of Christ. You know, when you go to the Old Testament and you look, I often admire the way God has written things down. Because when David made mistakes and Solomon made mistakes, it's all recorded there in Scripture. God never hid it. But there's only one man in the Scriptures that I'm aware of that there's nothing against, and that's Joseph. There's nothing recorded against that guy at all. Mind you, he didn't get it easy. Sold away into Egypt as a lad. Threw into jail. And have you any idea how long he was in jail? Do you remember Pharaoh's wife tried to get him into an adulterous situation with her, and he wouldn't go, and she tore the coat off him and then blamed him for things? He was 13 years in prison for something he never done. And I'm sure many a time he grabbed those old bars and he rattled them and he looked up to heaven and he'd say, "Lord, what on earth are you doing?" But he came out as prime minister. He really did. God was in control. He was following the Lord even in the prison cell. But listen to what God said to Abraham. Genesis 17 and 1. When Abraham was 90 years old and 9, he was 99 here. So he wasn't a young fella. He wasn't a teenager. The Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, "I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect." Isn't that some challenge? Isn't it? Walk before me and be thou perfect. In other words, you're walking in front of me, boy, and I'm behind you. And because you're in the front and I'm at the back and I'm watching you, I can see your every action. And if you go to take a wrong step, I'll know it and I'll pull you up on it. So unless you want to be pulled up and rebuked constantly and continually, walk before me and be thou perfect. Some time back, I was asked to go to pray for a man who had fallen ill. And I said, right, there was a few of us going along to pray for this man. I don't see anything wrong with that. You know, the Bible tells us, let him call. And if the person calls, these prayer lines and things that I see today, there's no biblical mandate for them at all. But if a person calls and asks for prayer, then I have no problem with that at all. We can go along and do it. But a dear brother came to me before we went along, and he said to me, he said, "Harvey, you don't know this situation terribly well." I said, "No, Albert, I don't know it terribly well, but I've just been asked to pray." He says, "Mind what you're doing and find out more details first." So I thought, right, you're not going to tell me. He said, "No, I'm not. Find it out for yourself." So I did. I felt I had to investigate, and I went about investigating this in a quiet way. You can do that simply without digging up dirt. You don't need to do that. Just went along nice and easy. And here's what I discovered. That this man, who needed healing, no doubt, was in the physical condition he was in because of something at the Lord's table that was a problem. "For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." And I discovered this, that it was something to do with the Lord's table, which I'm not going to mention this morning. And the man was under God's chastisement. You could take that boy wherever you like, and you could pray for him for 24 hours or 48 if you want. Not going to make any difference. There needs to be repentance first. And if that repentance is not there, then God will not intervene. It has to be done. "For this cause, many," note, not a few, "many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." We need to be so careful how we treat the Lord's table. Thank God for it. Thank God for that means of remembrance, Lord's Day by Lord's Day, but how we need to value it. You know, I meet people sometime. I met a dear lady not so very long ago, and she told me she was saved and so on. I actually did the wedding of her and her husband, and the husband goes to the Lord's table, but she never does. And I said to her, I said, I was preaching in the church. I said, "Tell me, how come you never go to the Lord's table to remember the Lord?" I know her very well, the girl. She had a tragic incident in her first life and her first marriage. Her husband died, and I had done both weddings. She's the only person, I tell her she's unique, you're the only person I've married twice, and that's the way it is. But, you know, she said to me, Harvey, I never feel good enough. Well, I said, listen, the scripture says, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat, not stay away. Because I said, if everybody thought the way you do and acted the way you do, nobody would be at the table. That's the way it is. But it's a great, great reservoir of truth, the Lord's table, where you can come there and examine yourself. And if you examine yourself and put it right, that's what this man didn't do. He knew he was wrong, and he kept coming to the table. And the Lord rebuked him for it by physical illness, and I had to go and tell him. I said, sir, we cannot pray for you. You need to put this right first. And when he put it right, everything went right. We didn't need him, or he didn't need us at all on that particular occasion. So that's be thou perfect. That's some standard. And let me finish with this one. There's a list of these that I'm not going to be able to get in here this morning at all. But if I whet your appetite to go away home and look at this. But here's one that I want you to think about. This is in John 21 and verse 15. So when they had dined, that means they had eaten well, you see, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Now, I'm not going to go into what the these are in that verse. That would take us far too long this morning. But I don't know what the these are in your life. And you don't know what the these are in my life. We're all different. But the Lord's saying to you and I today, lovest thou me more than these? Now look, there's nothing wrong with things that people have in their life. The difficulty comes is when we make it an idol and it gets in where the Lord should be. And that's the danger here, and that's what Peter was in danger of doing. But the Lord said, Peter, do you love me more than this? Than these things? And in your life today, friends, God may have blessed you and blessed you abundantly. God bless you if he has. You see, if you're a multimillionaire, the Lord bless you. You see, and I'll stay as friendly with you as I can, maybe get to the top of your will, if that's at all possible. But I'm only joking, of course. And, you know, the Lord's saying to you, I have blessed you, but do you love me more than these? And the danger is this, my friends. God would rather have your love than anything. And your worship than anything. That struck me as we were remembering the Savior this morning. And you know, if there's something there that we're putting before him, well, the Lord could take it out of the way for that love to be restored. One incident, and I'll finish. I remember being in a meeting one night. Oh, this is many, many years ago. And there was a dear brother there. And I didn't know very much of anything at all about him, but he was a likable character. And he was an excellent preacher of the word. One of the brethren stood up in the meeting and prayed. And he prayed one of the most peculiar things I've ever listened to. And it was this. He was a Scotchman, Davy. This man, these Scotchmen, you know, what would you do with them? You know, and there's May, he's been trying to figure that out for 60 years, still hasn't found it out, so there's very little point in us trying. But anyway, he got up and he prayed, Lord, he's fleeing heat. Now, you know what that means, he's flying high, you see. And this brother thought he was fleeing to heat. He says, Lord, clip his wings. That's what he prayed. Aye, did the Lord do it? Inside a week, his wife died. Never forgot that. And I remember the state he was in. And he told me, he says, I was flying high. and in danger of toppling down and making a whole mess. They said that was the prayer that was answered. If he's fleeing heat, clip his wings. The Lord did. You need to be so careful. So careful. See, it's God Almighty we're working with. You see? And he's saying to you, come unto me. Learn of me. Abide in me. Follow thou me. Walk before me. Lovest thou me. You could go on to remember me, if you liked. And also, there's remembrance of me. Two things are not just the same. You could look those up, and there's others, which I won't touch now. May the Lord bless this kind of practical thing to all of our hearts this morning, but it's how I felt I needed to go in the meeting today. May the Lord add his blessing to his precious word. Lord, we thank thee for the instruction that we gain in thy word. Help us today not to be mere hearers of thy word, but doers. And Lord, if there are things that need to be set right, give us the grace to do it, so that we may be vessels unto honor, sanctified and meet for the Master's use. Come up tonight mightily and powerfully and give our dear brother all the help that he needs. And in the other meeting, my responsibility tonight, I pray thy blessing there. And ask thee that God's hand will be on these gatherings and that precious souls will come to the Saviour. Bless this fellowship and grant indeed it will be a light in a dark place where many will find the Lord. And as this word goes out, Lord, through this means today, we commit it to thee and ask thy blessing. Be with us now as we part and take us home in safety. We thank thee to heaven when life is past and gone. We give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.